having a little rest and a little relaxation and kind of getting their batteries recharged as they were headed back to Chad. And of course, they are now in Chad. And we're going to be speaking with them on Skype. So we're super excited about seeing them and seeing the kids and hearing about the wonderful things that God is doing in and through their ministry in the nation of Chad. We need to keep them always in prayer because it's not the easiest place in the world to share the gospel and to preach the gospel and to be a light in that place. So let's continue to pray for the Hutts as they are faithful witnesses to Jesus Christ in the nation of Chad. So, Justin, are you there? Hello? Hey, Justin.
Hey.
See, there he is. It takes a little while. It takes a little while for the signal to get all the way to Chad, so that was why there was a delay. How are you doing, buddy? We are doing really, really well. So nobody's going to be able to really hear you, but you can hear me. And so, but I just want you to know everybody is here, and they love you guys, and they're excited about hearing about what God is doing in Chad. And we're just super thrilled. And so what we're going to do is you should have your little agenda in front of you, as I have in my formerly nicotine-stained fingers. Okay.
Does this help?
Yes, that's it. That's it. Yes, that's it. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to start off with a little bit of hellos, and we wanted you to, to get Sarah and the kids in there and just give us all a greeting. Oh, there she is. Isn't she cute?
I think so.
All right. So go ahead. Take it from here.
Hi, guys. Happy October. I think by now the color changed there. But here, things are heating up. We're getting into digits over here. Rain's just starting to peter out. And it's good to see you guys. We've missed you guys. It seemed like forever since we were there with you, but like then.
We're doing good at the guest house, and we just signed a contract on the house, so we're feeling excited about the future. Everybody's settled well, and I think we're going to carry you guys up to say hi on the porch. So,
hold on just a second, just follow us.
Hey, if anybody is on their phones, please get off the Wi-Fi, because that's probably what's holding it up.
Here's Sophia.
Hi, Sophia. Hey, Sophia.
I'm in second grade.
Great. That's cool.
Justice. Hello, Justice.
Hey, hi.
I'm Justice in third grade right now.
Oh, there he is.
Hi, I'm in preschool.
Preschool. What's your name?
John.
All right, and who's this up here?
And I'm in kindergarten.
All right.
It's okay, they know that next year is
next year. So all the kiddos are happy. They're in school. Justice and Sophia are both in school in town. This is their third kind of school in 3 years. So at first, they're a little frightened, but they're really getting it and enjoying. Mina and Sam are at home doing pretty cool. They're really looking at sales, body training.
Okay, hey Justin, 1 second. We're gonna go ahead and dismiss our children to Children's Church. for the rest of it. We just wanted them to see the kids, okay? All right, so for all the children who are going to Children's Church, meet Miss Leah right there in the back. You can go ahead and go right now. And again, if you are connected to our Wi-Fi, please disconnect. If you can, just go to data or whatever. Make sure that that's disconnected because it is going to compete with our bandwidth here. Okay, Justin, so just give us a little update about how you and Sarah and the family are doing. Maybe some challenges or concerns. Any new friends, any new team members, just give us a little update on how you guys are doing.
I'd say earlier was quite a bit back after a year of being away, at our retreat. Knowing that we were moving from to the city, it was quite a bit. The month that we spent village by our friends and neighbors there, and enjoyable. House to new family, young, they're getting ready to move out. So it was good to be able to help our house and all the work that we did setting rocks in. I think built shells and stuff for that house with important rock out. So it's able to enjoy all of that. We really did see God's good in moving us to the capital and being in a place where really we can look at our strengths and our gifts.
I'm really enjoying the public transportation system. It's mostly on motorbike, so I can go anywhere in the city and really nice. And because of that, I developed a friendship with a lady named Ashta, and we're hoping to write to you guys and then you update. You became a member almost 5 months ago now, right before we moved here. And she's one of the most bold witnesses. She's been threatened and hospitalized once, beating she received. But she has 7 kids. Her husband died 3 years ago. So her name is Ashta, and she's currently right now several hours north of Injuna, specifically for the reason of going to share with some of her extended family, 20 of whom the last 3 weeks become Christians. So you really pray for Ashta. Of the most exciting things that I've felt like.
So I've got a question about Sarah. You said that the public transportation system was motorbikes. Is that what you said? what was that?
There are little buses you can take, but they take a lot longer because they stop every about 200 feet, pick up new people and drop off people. So yeah.
So imagine Sarah spending about 50 cents to a dollar, hopping on the back of a motorbike and directing the driver to go to where she wants to in town. That's pretty much what it is.
Wow.
And imagine about you know, 100,000 other motorbikes on the road.
Wow. So do you take the kids with you on the motorbike, or you just have to pile them on, or?
Yeah, no, I'm full service to do that. So if the kids have to come, we go by bus, or we just take our car.
Okay.
But yeah.
Because in some places, I mean, they just pile them all on, you know?
All 3 guys on a moto, and sometimes it's like 4 guys on a moto, 5 guys on a moto, 6 guys on a moto.
No, it's not 6.
Well, maybe like a family of 6 sometimes. and 3 watermelon and a bag of rice.
So are the kids making friends? Are the kids making new friends, and how are they you know, connecting that way?
Yeah. One of the biggest blessings was the week we moved back to the capital from the village. Someone was at the same guest house. Two little boys and two little girls, kids that Art had known before and recognized. And that first week, Justice was didn't want to move from Ariba. So her having to leave Ariba and come here immediately, already have friends that she knew, I think that was just a real blessing from the Lord. So, of course, that family has left and they've come back and forth. But at the guest house here, our kids mostly connect with other English speakers. Once we move into our new house, then we'll be able to do more visiting door to door. This location here is more on the bars. We're more downtown, so we don't really have very many neighbors at the guest house. But it's cool. Yeah.
Okay. Great. That's good to know. So I actually got a question from someone, and they wanted to know, is there a Starbucks there?
No, there's no Starbucks. There's no chain restaurant at all in Chad, Not even a McDonald's or a Chick-fil-A. But there
no
are
Chick-fil-A's.
No Chick-fil-A.
Well, yeah. When the gospel gets more and more proclaimed, it will be there.
Motivation for our ministry.
There you go. You can start your own Chick-fil-A. How about that?
I do have these little quarter tea shops or, you know, roadside cafes that have like Sudanese coffee. Think of it coming in a little shot glass and being about 10 times the sugar and the sludge at the bottom of the cup. Really good. Kind of a, think of like a double, triple espresso. Pick me up for the day.
Good job. So let's transition to your ministry in particular, and what I guess I'm thinking of is things like team dynamics and the new team that you are working with. You know, some of the new friends that you're making within the team. Just give us an update on how some of that's going.
Yeah, our new team is made up of four families. And three single women, one who's in her 60s and another in her mid-30s and another in her mid-20s. Most of our families within the same age group, I think between the total of our families, we have 15 children. We just got off a retreat this week. So yesterday we came home, we spent about a week down maybe 20 kilometers south of the city. At a retreat location right on the river where there's hippos swimming, and enjoyed some relaxation, but also a time of prayer and strategy. It's the first time we've done this together as a team. First time we've been all together for about 2 months in the country. And just building what are we about as a team? Where are we going to be going? And out of that birth, strategy that we've had, but just clarified it with words. As a team, we desire to reach the Muslims and in our community, in the city, and to see Muslims gathering into groups that will soon morph into churches that will plant other churches. So right now, as a team, we're actively seeking where in town, where is God moving, where is God raising up speakers of Muslim. And where can we get involved in helping train? So right now, actually, at the guest house where we're staying at, I'm working with each Sunday morning, like this morning. I met with about a half a dozen believers who are from a Muslim background. We're walking the Book of Acts together. This morning we read and studied Acts chapter 13. We're walking chapter by chapter, week by week, studying what the church looked like, how the church started and grew. That's been really rewarding. And we're praying for more groups like that, groups that they want to grow, become church. And we've already talked about things like eldership, giving, baptism, lots of different topics that pop up back. And on Friday mornings, I lead a 5-hour workshop for about a dozen local pastors and missionaries. About a third of are from backgrounds that have become Christians. And we're talking about how to make disciples, how to engage Muslim communities and to bring them the gospel and to plant them. It's been really exciting. I think it's been something I've been wanting to do for years, and have had the opportunity now to do that. And now we're going to be reproducing that in a different churches in the next year. So about a mobile church already existing in Chad to reach their own particular Muslims in the country. In the city, sorry.
Good job. So, Sarah, have you had any gospel opportunities? And let us know about some of your own personal ministry that you've been able to enjoy.
Justin is taking care of the little kids 2 days a week, and that's usually when I go visiting. So apart from Ashta, who we visit every week, and our discipling the older single gal on our team, the 60-year-old, and I both go and visit her. I'm also visiting these women who are on a side of town where there's been Christians there but who don't speak here. And so there's this story about this one older lady who had a terrible injury to her leg and was not able to stand up and walk, but she could crawl around, and how one of the Christian women there started to take care of her and pay her to have food and everything. She just died a few weeks ago because she was quite elderly. And from that, now there's a young woman who has watched all the care of this older lady. And she has a woman who has 11 kids. Her name is Zeneba. It's things like this where somebody will say, oh, neighbor Arabic and only speaks French, can you come and visit them? So those are the types of things I've been doing, is mostly just, whenever you hear that somebody's open to hearing the gospel. There's a lady who got saved, but because of the rains, we can't get to her house. It's so muddy. Arlene and I, the single, we will go to visit with her through the rain.
Okay, good deal. That's good to hear. I know that you really enjoy visiting some of the women and sharing Christ with them, and both in your life as well as in your word. So that's a blessing to hear. We also there was some talk about a possible need that you guys had for someone to come to Chad to help out while Sarah is getting some training. So why don't you share a little bit about some of that, some of Sarah's potential training, as well as the need that you will have during that time.
Yeah. So a few years ago, beginning maybe 3 years ago, I had taken some training with our organization Pioneers in the United Kingdom, and it's leadership training with an organization. And Sarah's also been asked to take part in that just because of the trajectory that we are on right now. Within our team and within our relation in Chad. And she'll begin her week of training with Pioneers in February. And so I'll be bachelor in kids here in Chad for that time. Not that I can't handle it, but I would love to have maybe a little bit of helping hand. We would love to serve our family and our kids that during that week. They can come a little bit early or stay a little bit late if they want to hang out with Sarah.
So if you get a strange email from Preston, then you know what that's about. Feel free to say no.
Okay, so basically, just so you've got what they're saying is they have the while Sarah is gone to this training, they're going to need somebody, preferably a couple, that could come over and help take care of the kids while she's away, and then also so that Justin can do the things he needs to get done. And so this is a big ministry opportunity in Chad. It's a long way away, but I want you to be praying over that and be thinking about it. And we are going to be actively recruiting someone who could come and serve the huts in that way. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that we had that, because we were getting a little broken up. I wanted to make sure that they understood what was going on there. Okay, yeah. Appreciate that. So let me get my little agenda out here. So Sarah, share a little bit about what this training is going to encompass that you're seeking.
Yeah, I think Pioneers is starting to have a pretty good shift or focus on asking leaders and teams and leaders in the field to be mentored by others and also be mentored themselves. So that's part of the training, but it's once a year for 3 years. It's like a extended training where during the course of that year, you check up with the team who is putting on the training, and they ask you how your mentorship is going, and have you read certain books. But it's mostly, yeah, for encouraging and training good and healthy leadership and practices for those who are on the field and wanting to help and influence others also.
And how long will this take?
It'll be 1 year, 1 week per year for 3 years.
That'd be a long missions trip, a year. Okay, well, that's good to know. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, what we're going to do is, Justin, you're going to have a time of talking a little bit about our mission to our Jerusalem, to our world, and really how important it is that home missions be happening so that foreign missions can happen. And so, but before you do that, I want to give everybody an opportunity that if they'd like to ask a question of you guys, that they'd be able to do that. And I'm going to have to just let you know that he can't hear you without me. So I will have to walk to you, and you can just get very close to me to ask the question. Okay, I'll pull it off so that you can ask. Unless, oh, you want to use it? The green one? The green one? Oh, okay, right here. And so this one is actually on? Okay, it's on? Okay. Do a test to see.
Hi, guys. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
I'm testing the microphone, but I want to say hi. We miss you guys.
Okay, so who would like to ask, anyone would like to ask the Huts a question? Okay, Dominic, and you make me go all the way back to the back.
Make him rush down.
He knows who's talking.
Hey, Justin, it's Dominic. How are you?
Hey, Dominic, how are you?
Good, buddy. I love your emails, man. Your book's coming along, and I just wanted to let you know that we miss you and pray for you a lot. I didn't know that I had a question. I just wanted to say hi.
Thanks, guys.
Dominic keeps really close tabs on Justin all the time, and so he's always contacting him and emailing and so forth, and so we're glad that he's holding the rope for the Huts. So anyone else?
Hi, Justin, this is Dave.
I'll tell you a question our kids had. He asked me, I think, yesterday, so when we go back to Battleground to Indiana, is Maggie still going to be there? And I shook.
Man, you're going to need to say something.
Hey, Justin, can you hear me? Justin, this is Dave. Can you hear me? Justin, this is Dave. Can you hear me?
Can you tell them that?
Oh, yeah, this is low battery. Justin, can you hear me?
I can hear you guys. Can you hear us all right?
Hey, Justin, this is Dave. Can you hear me?
Hey, Dave.
Hey. So is there any hostility? Is anybody getting after you?
Not after us, no. That is still this couple of Kaya. You know our brother Mubarak taken captive Currently his family, they had done a funeral for him. No idea he was alive. But he's doing the right. He's out a little bit. He had some, simple PTSD. But he's beginning his studies. Really doing it. But no, we feel we're safely.
Good. Well, we pray for you guys and Mubarak every day in our family devotions.
Thank you.
Sure.
Just so you know, for those that don't know, Mubarak is a friend of theirs, and he's gone through a lot of tough times. He kind of broke up a little bit there, but he's receiving a lot of persecution, a lot of opposition, primarily from his family, his Muslim family. So that's who he was talking about. So there was somebody else. Oh, Dave took your question? Okay. Yes, it's fine.
Hey, it's Leanne. And I
brought, hey, Lee.
How are you?
Good.
I brought some faith kids with us today, too. So I was informing them of your links to their church.
All right. Hey.
Two questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Two questions. One is, how's your health been with the transition? And the second one is, are we able to mail you things more easily now?
I'll let Sarah answer how our health has been, and I'll answer the question about me.
We are so blessed. I'll say the worst thing is us and please. They're keeping us up at night a little bit, but just had their first last had a growing diarrhea, formulary. So thank you for our help and please pray for our team.
They're in extended rainy season right now, which is causing a lot of malaria related illnesses. Mailing, yeah, we love mail. And now that we're going to get sooner, when we were in the village, it took about been able to get active at least four now. In our newsletter, I think has that. Ask her, but we can. I go to the post office 4 weeks to see if we get. We particularly like M's and raisins. Oh, you're dead. We love those kind of things.
Did you get the answer that you were looking for, Leanne? Okay. I just wasn't sure. You're breaking up a little, so we're getting about 80%. You know, so I might ask Sarah to repeat what she said before, because I didn't get any of that. It was kind of.
I was saying, praise the Lord that we have not had any major illness. But to contrast that, our family have had 3 cases of malaria in 1 week.
Wow.
So thank you for praying and pray for our team.
Well, you guys are Africans now, so malaria is no big deal for you. You know, you just kind of fluff that off. So, okay. Well, it's great to hear that you guys are staying healthy. Anyone else? Oh, okay, well, this young lady right here had a really quick question.
Hi.
And you need to tell who you are.
I'm Becca. I'm Becca Allen. I just wanted you guys to know that my family has been praying for you guys and that you're doing fine, and we've also been praying for your team and that everything's been doing good in chat.
Becca, that is so sweet. Hugely encouraging.
Hi, this is Valerie, and I just was wondering if I'm understanding you correctly, that you're going to be looking for a place to that's coming along with Muslims to have your church. Are you looking for a building? Do you meet in somebody's home? How does that part work?
Yeah, that's a great question. Let me give you a brief testimony. There's a young man by the name of Abir who about 3 or 4 months ago had come to faith in Jesus and got baptized. One of our teammates was part of that. And he began meeting maybe half a dozen people in town and reading through the Gospels together. Got to be like hours of reading the scriptures together, praying through it, seeing how they apply it together. Now they've read through Matthew, read through Mark, they've read through Luke, they're in the book of John together, reading chapter by chapter. Every Saturday, both French and Arabic, they have a group of now about 8 people meeting, had to sit down just 2 for their house. Eat on mats, on rugs on the ground. But now they're meeting two groups of about 40 people. And I'm beginning to offer with some of our teammates leadership training to teach them about to look in with the court and seeking to find those within fellowship who are leader and just pointing them. I don't meet a group every week. Discussion, we work outside of those meetings, or here in the lead. And we have those discussions about getting an objector, you know, and talking about prayer, baptism, leadership, and accountability and discipline, all the very things, all the healthy parts of a church. Talk about the thing they, as they want to grow to be of a group that becomes a church. So we don't look to build buildings. We've set up the group side with the Spears group. They are comfortable to read the scripture under a church in their and they're comfortable to leave it that way until indefinitely. And so I think it's really way complicated for a church here. The young church here with a lot of finance. When there's a lot of finance. Well, anyways, I don't know if that answers the question. I'm just asking some things that we're working through right now. That question, are you?
Okay, Justin, one thing I'm going to request is one of the things that found that Sarah, when she spoke really slowly, we caught a lot more. So maybe you speak a little bit more slowly. I think maybe it's trying to catch. There's too many words in too small of a place or something. I don't know. I don't understand this stuff. So as you well know. Okay. So any other questions?
Hi Justin, hi Sarah, it's Madeline. I'm actually home right now for fall break, so I'm really excited that I got to see you guys while I was here. I'm just wanting to let you know that I'm praying for you guys. I like keeping up with how you're doing, reading your emails and the blog and everything. And I'm sitting right next to Eli, and he got very excited when Salem came on the screen. So. But it's really good to see you guys, and I'm praying for you. Just wanted to let you know that.
Thanks. It's great to hear your voice, too.
Anyone else?
Where? Pointing, like this one?
Oh, she decided not to. She wanted to say hi to Justice.
But you want to say hi to Justice? I think she would like it. You might want to let Justice know that Maggie's going to talk to her directly.
Okay. I'll in just a second. Justice, come here. Come in. All right. Justice is on our way. We'll be here in a second. Maybe.
Okay. Hello.
Tell her who you are.
This is Maggie.
I love you. Aww.
I miss you.
You too.
That's sweet. We love you, Justice. Sweet girl. Okay, any other questions before we turn it over to Justin to close us this morning? Any others? Any other questions?
Hey, Justin. This is Christine Hampy. I have a question. When you guys do outreach, is the area that you live in, I know as a parent, like children are always a good way to outreach. Do you do a lot of family outreach or is it more like a one-on-one?
Both. I'd say oftentimes when Sarah goes to meet with Ashta or Adija or these other ladies, she often takes our kids along because she's meeting these moms and the kids too. So it's our kids, their kids, and they get to see how we interact with our kids and their kids together. There are times where, like, during the week, I'll meet with some guys alone, and Carol meet with women alone. If specifically, if we're gonna.
Okay, all right, well, Justin, that's I think that's all the questions that we have time for. One of the things that we've been doing in this particular Missions Month is we've been emphasizing the theme, our mission, our world. And so the idea there is that, you know, we have a mission. We talk a lot about world missions, but every Christian has a mission to the world in which they've been called. Whether they are in a place like, oh, hello, whether they are in school or in work or wherever they happen to be. And so we want to make sure we give you the opportunity to talk a little bit about our mission to our world and how that is so crucial for world missions. So I think you have someone you want to introduce to us.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was going to be able to come earlier or not, but this is my little brother, Mubarak. And I don't know if Kandido Tarjum, I'm in the Tarjum, or Kandido Tahajbe Inglisi. Okay, so he'll talk to you, and I'll do my best to try to translate any things that he has to say for you.
Okay.
He's to you.
مبارك وشكرا كثير لتسعد الخوف أنا من سنة كثير سنت تنين وثلاث سنوات.
I'm مبارك and I'm thankful to be able to be with you and I thank you for your prayers for me this past year. كلام آخر. None of us. I'm just happy to know that I talked to you. Just better.
Well, please let him know that we know a lot about him and that we pray for him all the time.
Okay, he understands. He said,
Okay. All right. Well, that's a blessing. Okay, well, Justin, we're going to turn it over to you. And we want you to know that today is our Harvest Festival. So we do have guests here. So, you know, that's a great thing too. But we are having our Harvest Festival, and we're excited about all the things that are going to be going on today. So we're going to turn it over to you.
Wow, that sounds like fun. I heard about this whole chili cook-off, and Dom's been giving me the scoop on it, the skinny. There seems to be a lot of drama going on right now around there. And,
no drama.
I wish I could bring my chili and show you guys all up, but we'll have to save that for another time. I know it's October and it's Pastor Appreciation Month, and we just want to say how appreciative we are for you, Kenny, and your family, Stephanie. And I'd say over the past year, you guys have ministered to us deeply. So kudos to you guys. Thanks for being in our lives and for being our pastor, even from afar. It's great that you guys are walking through Acts, in Acts chapter 1, particularly this month, as you think about missions. It's a book that we've been walking through a lot late with groups. We've been meeting our group here, like I said, this morning in Acts chapter 13. I've been meeting with another group. Today also, we were in Acts chapter 4. Acts is just a great book to give us a picture of how the church birthed and how what we are a part of today, what it's become, and how it's traveled around the world, and how we are a part of this living organism that is moving throughout the world and proclaiming Jesus. When you come, before coming to Chad, Thera and I prepared a last will or a final will and testament. I can't think of any exercise that's more sober than having put together a final will and testament. But I guess when we don't have much, it wasn't much of a hassle. So, In a last will and testament, one leaves their loved ones, their desires, and their final wishes. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 is like Jesus' last will and testament to his followers. And when he says, or actually begins with a question from his disciples, it says in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, so when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus says to them, "It's not for you to know the season or the time that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And I just want to make three quick observations from these last words. First, Jesus' final words weren't optional or debatable. The disciples want an option to ask a question. What did the disciples want to know? The disciples wanted to know when Jesus would restore Israel as earthly power. They too wanted the power that went along with that. And they wanted to be like top dog, like they were in the glory days of David and Saul. They wanted their option now. And they were right to expect Jesus to change things. But they didn't understand how Jesus would change things. The second observation verses is that Jesus's final words were inclusive. Notice this doesn't really answer the type of question. Instead, he told them to focus their efforts and their questions on hearing to God with everyone. In other words, Jesus meant for everyone to rock, everyone to hear the message of the gospel. And Jesus was going to change the world with the gospel message, use his disciples as his messenger. And I would say, Battleground, that includes you. It includes every one of you. What's your initial reaction? Words. It's probably one of these four things. Maybe, yeah, I'm in, where do I start? Or maybe it's, I'm interested, but I'm unsure where and how God used me. Or maybe it's, I don't know many people who aren't believers. Or maybe it's, I'm still really new to this following in Jesus, and someone else is going to do a better job than me. So Jesus' work no. His final words were inclusive, and also Jesus' final words were very soon. It's important for the disciples to understand that even the coming was unlike what the disciples dreamed about, where a powerful king sat on a throne for a limited time for a specific place. Instead, God's kingdom is about the eternal, the immortal, the invisible God ruling in human life, like with me. And you might ask, what's sobering about that? In order for God's kingdom to spread, it would need to be spread through a messenger and by messengers. And those messengers would cross into borders, into countries, into culture, and they would be met there with hostility, opposition, rejection, much like an army that would be invading land. But these Jesus followers were in an army. They didn't have arms, they didn't have physical weapons, but they did have the power of the Holy Spirit, and they had the greatest news on earth. But sharing them meant suffering. And every time the gospel expanded, this is what we're realizing as we walk through the book of Acts. When the gospel expanded from Jerusalem to Samaria, it expanded because of persecution. And when it expanded from Samaria to the ends of the earth, it expanded because of persecution. Suffering always advanced the gospel. So the spread of the gospel is no act. But Jesus calls you and me to share with people like you and people unlike you, with people you like and with people you dislike. The disciples were there about the Jews, the people they knew and understood. I mean, the disciples knew the Jews really well. But then they were asked to share the gospel with Samaria, people they knew and disliked. And then they were to go to the ends of the earth. The people that they didn't nor understand, nor had any likenesses with. We could tell you more stories about Ashda and Mubarak and Benjamin and Bashir. All have paid the price. All have counted the cost. All have felt the heat for sharing their faith. All have experienced love. All have been hurt by their loved ones. All because they believed the gospel. They were changed by the gospel. And they shared the non-inclusive, sobering message of the gospel without fear or. And as you share it, you will experience the same. And if you're not, you must ask yourself, what message am I sharing? So as you carry out the will and testament of the good news to West Lafayette and to the world in places like Chad, may God continue to give you a fervor to share the gospel that is non-optional, inclusive, and sobering, without fear and shame. And may God bless you guys. Love you guys.
Thank you so much, Justin. Thank you. So our mission to our world is the basis for his mission to his world. And I love what he shared with us about Acts 1:8. One of the things that Justin brought up that really resonated with me and just now is the fact that, you know, he had Mubarak there with him. And Mubarak has paid a very stiff and high price for the gospel, for both believing the gospel as well as proclaiming the gospel. And there's many people throughout the world that have to pay that price. We live in a country in which we pay no price for preaching the gospel. And yet, the only price that we could potentially pay would be social ostracism, which is, at best, mild on a global level. And so, but many times we're silent because of the fear of social ostracism, which is really no price to pay at all. So we really have to take an example from our brothers and sisters in Christ who are paying in some cases, the ultimate price for their witness to the gospel. We must be witnesses in our Jerusalem, right here in Battle Ground and in West Lafayette. Justin, we are going to pray over you guys, and we really look forward to doing this because we do love you guys, and we want to make sure that the family, yeah, I can see you're going to where they are, that the whole family is involved in this. So even though we cannot lay hands on you as we would if you were here with us, you can kind of imagine our arms on you, our hands around you, and as we pray to the Lord for your ministry and for your family.
Yeah.
Go pray!
Hey, all right. My kiddo's here. Sarah's coming. She's changing a diaper. You know how those mother things.
Changing a diaper. Okay. Well, let's. I'd like for someone who would like to pray. I need two people that are willing to pray with us. What two people would like to pray? Anybody? Okay, Dominic. Right here. Dominic, you'd like to pray over, and then hand the mic over here. And then I'll close this in prayer, okay?
Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to see Justin and Sarah and their beautiful family and what they're doing. And Lord, thank you for allowing them to be a reminder to us what it truly means to sacrifice and to give our faith to God and to share that faith with other people. Lord, we thank you for the gift and we thank you for the giver. Amen.
Lord, we come before you right now. We just want to thank you for the Hutts being willing to go out into the world and to proclaim your word, Lord. As they continue to serve you, Lord, we pray that you will just give them good health and strength to continue to preach your word. We pray that you will continue to help them to outreach to people like Mubarak, who is having to pay huge prices for his faith, Lord. That you will just continue to strengthen them as it's hard, Lord, in that case, to preach to your family and then have them persecute you, Lord. We just pray that, as I said, continue to help them have good health. Pray that you'll help the kids to have good health. Pray that you will just, as I said, give them strength, Lord. In the name of God, amen.
Father, as we pray over the Hutts family, we are thankful that you have called them to the nation of Chad to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people that are there. Father, as you know, I love Justin very much. I did the lion's share of my ministry with him and was able to walk with him through struggles and through triumphs. And we are both of our faith tested many times and in many places. And And Father, I've watched this young man go from being a fresh out of college or fresh out of Bible college guy to a real herald for your gospel. I watched him get to know Sarah better, and Sarah came into his life, and I've watched the two of them grow more and more like your son. I've watched them become equipped to preach your gospel to other lands. And Father, you ultimately sent them to Chad, and they are a useful tool in your hands. And we thank you, Father, for them. We thank you, Father, for their boldness, for their compassion, for the people of Chad. We thank you, most of all, that you have inclined their hearts to your son. And even though they have great compassion for the people of Chad, it does not measure up to the love they have for your son. And Father, we thank you for that. We also ask, Lord, that as they continue their ministry there, that you would give them direction and guidance, that you'd humble their hearts. We pray, Lord, that their time in your word and with your church would continue to increase. And Lord, we also want to lift up Mubarak to you. We thank you, Father, that you have brought him to the huts, and he is at this point, he has a measure of safety. We thank you, Father, for that. We pray, Lord, that you would also work in that young man's heart, that he would realize that you have called him to these kinds of things, that bearing your cross means sometimes suffering tremendously for it. And so, Father, we ask that you continue to work in Mubarak's heart, and we'll be sure to thank you and praise you for what you do in his life. We also ask, Lord, that as he has opportunity to interact with his family, who is very hostile to his faith, that his family might perhaps see the faith that Mubarak has, and that you, through your Holy Spirit, would open their hearts, that they would also receive Christ. And we commit them to you. We thank you again for the huts. We thank you, Father, for the ministry they have. And we ask that you would always, always protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, we're going to give you guys the opportunity to say your final goodbyes. And even though you can't hear everyone, unless everybody wants to yell really, really loud, goodbye.
Goodbye!
Yeah, I think you heard that one, right? Okay. Okay. All right. Well, so go ahead. I just want to see. I want to hear a goodbye from everybody before you go.
Goodbye.
Three.
Goodbye.
All right. We love you guys.
I love you guys.
God bless.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Well, with that, you could all please rise. I do want to remind you that we are going to our time for Harvest Festival. And remember, we don't do Harvest Festival just because we like to run or we like to look at cars or we like to eat chili and all those kinds of things and pies and all that. But we have Harvest Festival because we are ministering to our Jerusalem. Okay, and this is one of the ways in which we do that. Keep that in mind. Okay, keep that in mind as we go out and we interact with the people in our community. So with that, let's pray, and then I'm going to pray over the food and everything else. So consider once you start eating that it has been prayed over and all of that. And when does the 5K start?
So 10:50 for walkers, 11 for runners.
Okay, 10:50 for walkers and 11 for runners. Okay. And all the shirts and everything
are right here. Just come see.
Yeah, so you'll be able to get all that stuff from her, okay?
I'd like everyone to wear the shirts during the race, if you can.
Okay. And we have guests, so please be nice, be welcoming, you know? Hey, I gotta do that here, you know? So be nice to them and let them know that you appreciate them coming and just try to reach out with the gospel to them if you have that opportunity. All right, let's pray. Father, as we leave now, we do thank you for giving us this time that we could talk to the huts and to hear updates from them. But Father, now we are going into our Harvest Festival time. We pray, Lord, that you would use it for the furtherance of your kingdom and for the glorification of your Son. We just ask, Lord, that everyone would have a great time, that everyone would have a great time of fellowship, that we would learn, or that we would meet many new people from our community. We thank you for each one, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed.